Love you because it's on Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good. Got a microphone, a clicker, a Bible, and some notes, and I lost my notes. Oh, look, a penny. Woo. That's right. I don't know why they put the class for mature people down to the whole end of the auditorium here. They just thought we needed some extra exercise, I guess. So I just wanted to share a little bit. Called to die. Yes, called to die. And that way we went to when we decided to become disciples of Jesus. So I want to tell you a little bit about Jan's and my story. We've been around for a while. We were baptized, same spiritual birthday, 3 years apart, 43 and 40 years ago. Ended up in San Diego, and for 12 years we worked shepherding singles there in San Diego, which was very rewarding. But I've been planning all along to retire a bit early so that I could do more teaching, writing, traveling. That was kind of my vision. But you know what? God has a way of changing your vision around and sending you where you didn't want to really exactly go. So about 3 months after I retired, I got a call from Robert Carrillo. Actually, no, we were actually in a hotel room, I believe. He said, John, would you consider going to Bakersfield and leading a church? I thought, okay, I never thought about that. The idea of leading a church, I mean, Jen, I was in the ministry like 35 years ago. I was one of the first ones ever to get fired, you know, that trend. But you know what? For several years, whenever I had a chance, especially when we'd speak to the empty nesters, I've been saying, you know what? When you were, you know, 18 to 25, you had time but no money. They think they have no time, but they have lots of time, all right? And then from 25 to about 45 or 50, you had money but no time. But when we start hitting 55, 60, suddenly we have money and time. So that's when we should hit high gear spiritually and go out and find a ministry, start something. Because really, God has given us all these abilities and talents and experience. So what are we going to do with it? So, Greg said, you want to go there to Bakersfield to lead a church? Yeah, I think we have to do that. It's one of those Isaiah 6 moments, you know what I'm saying? So we went. We didn't go there for the scenery, for the weather, for the culture, or any of those things. We went for exactly one reason. It was so cool, because we had trouble becoming empty nesters. Our son at 32 was still living with us. We solved it. We moved out. And he stayed there. And we moved to Bakersfield. No chance he'll ever come with us today, right? And yeah, exactly. So anyway, we came there to a church that was not doing super great. They'd been discouraged and hadn't grown for quite a long time. And God used us to start a campus ministry and all kinds of other cool stuff. But you know what? Got another Isaiah 6 moment. Because one thing I realized is, I believe, and I think you'll agree, that as a fellowship, as a movement, we've lost some of our vision for doing missions. And here's what I discovered. I did a little research. There had not been a church planting in California for 25 years. Now that's embarrassing. So I said, well, we got to do that. So got together a consortium of four churches. We're working on the plan, funding. And then last summer, kind of came down to this. So who's going to lead this thing? Isaiah 6 moment number 2, correct? There you go. And so we decided that that's what we need to do. We need to follow God's call. You know, live in San Diego, retired, we were comfortable. I mean, perfect weather. Everything set up for us. But really, were we saved to be comfortable? Now, we saw earlier today, to be comforted. Remember, if you were there at the earlier talk. So we decided to basically pack up one more time and go into the mission field. You know, and I remember when I studied discipleship over 43 years ago, and I remember the passage which says, those who put their hand to the plow and look back are not fit for service in the kingdom. So we decided that's what we're going to be willing to do. And I really believe that as a fellowship of Christians, we've lost some of that zeal for missions. And what happens is we become content. And, you know, I've I can't count how many people I said, would you please consider coming to Merced? You know what the almost always the response is? They laugh, actually literally laugh. Now that's not a, like, what a dumb idea. It's like, oh, that's right, that is what we signed up for. Oh, well, but I'm not ready to do that. And some of the reasons are here, well, because of my grandchildren. That's a tough one. And, you know, when we moved to Bakersfield, our kids got on our case. Then we moved even farther away to Merced. Our kids got even more on our case. And, you know, it's tough. We're leaving behind comfort. We're leaving behind grandkids. And, honestly, money. All those things. But you know what? Oh, it is so worth it. I just want everybody in this room to have a vision for what God is going to do with you. I'm telling you. I've visited over 200 churches, and foreign missions as well, by the way. Absolutely. We're here, I guess, pushing, American missions, but I'm telling you, there are so many churches in this world where you could go there and you would be like this pillar, a superstar. You could teach anything over there. You just open the Bible and start talking. They're like, oh, I can't believe how much you know the Bible. And yet, we're living in our little bubbles, and you know. And so I really think that this is what's going to be fulfilling. Paul said, you know, become all things to all people. It says that's how I share in the blessings. So I want to share one scripture, and then I want, I almost said Jesus. I'm tired. Jan, it's close, but not quite. Romans 15, 14 through 16. So Paul says in verse 14, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Amen? We got a lot of competence going here. Absolutely. Yet I've written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You know, we are priests. And one thing priests do is they mediate between humans and God. But as Christians, we don't need priests, right? Who's our priest? Jesus Christ. So who needs a priest then? The Gentiles. There's a lot of people out there needing a priest. And it's our priestly duty to bring the gospel to as many of them as possible. So I want you to consider, and Jan's going to share an example. Let me just have Jan share this really amazing example we just heard about a couple days ago, and then I'll say a few more thoughts. So here you go, Jan.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It is awesome to be with you, and definitely we left our comfort zone. I don't know, but it's wonderful when you feel like you're doing God's work. I want to tell you about someone who, you know, is inspiring. We just heard from Tim Summerlin about his friend Ed and Susan Carr from St. Louis. Maybe you know them. They've been disciples for 30 years, couple of kids, some grandkids, had a nice job, a nice house, looking to retire soon. And God spoke to him. And he felt the call to go lead a church. Never been a minister. He's been a house church leader. He's led Bible studies, and probably many of you have too. Well, he quit that cush job. He sold his house, and they are beginning to lead the church in Missoula, Montana this month.
That's awesome.
Right. And as he shared, he and his wife got, you know, some flack from their own kids. How could you leave your grandchildren behind? But I thought we left everything behind. And by the way, you go visit your grandchildren, all right? We got a couple up here that are going a lot farther than that. Do you guys have grandchildren? Yeah. Oh, well, luckily then, I guess, in a way. So, a few thoughts of something to do, and then I'm going to let Brian come up here. Go and help a smaller church. The churches that are growing, in general, are smaller churches and newer churches. That's a statistical fact. Consider, crazy not true, to go into the ministry. Now, by the way, if you're a Christian, you're a minister. I mean, we all know that. But I'm talking about to actually consider leading a church I'm telling you, if you have a heart to do that, there's somebody out there who's going to say, praise the Lord, come here. Because, you know, we don't need to pay you so much money because you're half retired or whatever. Or lead or join a church planting, if that's not what you have the skills for. Or please consider going overseas. Like I said, you will be a superstar. We're going to shine like stars in the universe, but you can shine like that right now. I wish I could say more, but you know what? I got to let the next person up, which is Brian Santos. Come on up, Brian. A couple pictures from our mission team while he's coming up, moving to Merced, campus students sharing in Merced. Now we're going to call to grow.
Amen. All right. I want to thank everybody for coming. Since you've come, that means that you are going.
Amen.
There you go.
I came to tell you I'd love for you to go to the Caribbean. You can go anywhere, but the call to grow is so important to talk about.
Amen.
Because when God calls you, and you've been called if you're in this room, you are not ready to go.